Today's scripture comes from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall more I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, or of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fight the armies of aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and of scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens, in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we are also in a great cloud of witness, lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate my brother in Christ sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. I invite invite you to be with me in an attitude of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for these words. More than words, life. They point to something greater. Not only lessons to be learned, but grace to be open to and be filled by. Through these words, you've spoken to us once again. We would just ask that you would continue to speak to us as your people, seeking to be faithful. It's in the name of the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, and our namesake that we pray. Amen. As I've spoken to friends who are Native American, I think about the reality of what it means to be a storyteller in that tradition. It's very important because that's often how they conveyed truths and histories and information from generation to generation. So there's a great tradition of storytelling in the Native American tradition. I think that in our culture, movies have supplanted storytelling. Now, there are some movies that there's not much to take from, let's be honest. In fact, a lot of them, there's not a whole lot to be taken from. Unless it's a Sylvester Stallone movie, then it's, you know, one of the greatest of all time. No. No. But there's a movie that came out a number of years ago that there was a particular scene that struck me. Dead Poets Society, Robin Williams. Robin Williams plays John Keating, an instructor, an English teacher at an all-boys private academy, and he's trying to get them to take opportunities. And there's a compelling scene where he leads all the boys into the foyer of a building where there are old photos displayed of individual students that had gone before. Classes, graduating classes of past decades are all there, all of the classes over the years. And Keating remarks that the men in those pictures were just like those boys. They were full of hope and ambition. Then Keating asks his class this question. Did they wait till it was too late to realize their full potential? Then he tells, if you remember the movie, tells them to lean close to these pictures as though the pictures are going to be talking to them. Lean close and listen to the message that these ones that have gone before them can tell. And they lean in and Keating whispers, carpe diem. Carpe diem. Seize the day. Make your lives extraordinary. Do you have someone that you can think of right now that helped you develop your faith in God through Jesus Christ? Do you have somebody? Somebody that you can think of. Maybe it was someone that introduced you to a saving relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Mrs. Sweet, my Sunday school teacher. I still have this little Bible she gave me, King James, New Testament and Psalms and Proverbs, and it had the coolest colored cover on it of Jesus talking to people. And you know, I thought it was a treasure not to be opened. Actually, there's some people that still look at the Bible as that way. I don't want to open it up. It looks too nice. Whenever I display that, I want to dust it off when the pastor comes, of course, or dig it out to just make sure it's in prominent location so he sees it. But nonetheless, but as I grew and I realized that the words in there were meant to be read, to be devoured, to be soaked in, I learned an important lesson. Those heroes of the faith in our lives have paved the way for us, have helped to lay down a foundation in our hearts, but they've also given us an example. They've reminded us that we are called today to be the heroes of faith for others. Do you understand that? It keeps on going. We are called to witness to our faith, just like those who went before witnessed their faith to us. Do you think that you're ready for that? Do you think that you're prepared? If you answer no, then that's a good sign, because that means that you're humble before God. And you don't necessarily feel prepared. You don't necessarily feel like you have all the answers. You don't have to have all the answers. What you need to do is to be open to how God is going to work through you and use you. Does that make sense? God doesn't want us to be answer people, so that somebody comes to us and we immediately regurgitate something that we've memorized. But rather, that we can be with them on the journey, wherever they are, to actually listen to where they are in their faith journey, and to be open then to speaking the truth that God places in our hearts to them. Do you know that listening is one of the most draining things that you can do? I mentioned that last Sunday. It's kind of a reoccurring theme that I've been thinking about. Listening takes a lot of energy, and yet sometimes that's exactly what God calls us to do. Not offer anything, not fix anything. Husbands, wives, you can take a break just for the next few minutes. Husbands, have you learned the lesson that sometimes your wife simply wants you to listen to you and not fix the problem? Any of you haven't learned that, I'll be talking to you up here for prayer after worship. Man, some of the wives are looking at their husbands. I'm going to get out of the way right now because I don't want to be in the way of those stairs. It might just burn a hole right through me. So, listening and simply being present is important. It's essential. And oftentimes, that's the greatest witness to faith, because it reminds the person that we're listening to that there may not be a quick fix. And in fact, there's probably not an easy answer. But that's okay, because God still is at work. You know, God's story is a lengthy one. Did you know that? God was at the beginning, will be at the end, and is in every moment in between. God's story is a lengthy one, and sometimes we want to shorten it, or sometimes we want to get to the punchline. Sometimes we want to get to, solve this mystery. And the mystery of God is never going to be solved, but we will get to know Him better. And we get to know Him better through a saving relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. And we get to that saving relationship with God through Jesus Christ by every day being open to that, whether we feel ready or not, whether we feel sharp or not, whether we're having a bad day or a good day, simply being open every day in the morning saying, Lord, I am open once again to what you would like to do in my life through that relationship that I have with you through Jesus Christ. It's a very simple prayer, isn't it? And yet it's one that fully puts the onus on God and reminds us that it really isn't about our agenda. Being about God's agenda is something that requires a lot of faith. And faith is probably most importantly defined as the courage to endure. This scripture passage that our brother read wonderfully earlier continues what we were talking about last week in Hebrews. It continues about talking about those that have gone on before and shown faith in God. And it's a reminder to that church that heard these words not to sink back into just a comfortable existence or one where they're just seeking pleasure. It reminds the church that at times we must endure, and then we must continue to endure, and then we must endure even a little bit more, because God is working in His time. The heroes of the faith didn't know when their prayers were going to be answered. The heroes in the faith didn't know exactly how God was going to work or what time, and yet they continued to trust. There are a lot of names that are listed there. Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, Elijah, and Elijah aren't mentioned. So there are judges, individuals that God put in positions of leadership. There's a king. There's a prophet. And there are a couple more prophets that, again, aren't named, Elijah and Elijah. Nonetheless, this whole litany of individuals, and before that, Moses, also listed. Joshua listed. Rahab, a prostitute, God uses. She was faithful. She believed in the God of Israel. And she trusted against great odds. Faith, being willing to endure, even when it seems like our energy is going to run out. That's the problem. We trust in our energy, and we don't trust in God's grace and power. Really following God. I mean, really trusting God. Not saying, okay, I have enough money now. God, I can trust you. Okay, God, I have my house paid off now. Now I can trust you. Okay, God, my marriage is just great, wonderful. My relationship is hunky-dory. Now I can trust you. Okay, God, there's no illness. Everybody's healthy in my family. Everybody's feeling great. My kids are doing great in school. Now I can trust you. God asks us to trust Him when things are going wrong. God asks us to trust Him when things aren't so rosy. God asks us to trust Him actually when things seem to be at their worst. That is faith, my friends. It's not an easy thing to hear, but as Christians, it's what we're called to do. The witness of Hebrews, two Sundays now in a row, is clearly about faith and being willing to trust God, and being willing to endure. Triumph and success are on the same continuum, that means straight line, as tragedy and failure. This means that both will be experienced. There are so many inspirational sayings that have come out about picking yourself up after failure. But success is not about, you know, if you win or lose immediately, but rather how you deal with failure if you continue on the path, on the journey of life. I think there's something to be said for that. And as Christians, we know that we're not always going to win. Nowhere in God's Word is it promised to us that we're always going to get our way. In fact, by God's grace, and this is the secret for the day for you to take with you today, by God's grace, because God loves us so much, we're not going to get what we want sometimes. Sometimes what we want is the worst thing for us, and yet we don't know it. So, faith, enduring, hanging in there, continuing on the journey. I don't know if anybody here is a runner. Anybody here a runner? Anybody here do running around in errands? Some of you, you know, I've seen you in stores, in Walmart and Fry's, and you move pretty fast. I want to tell you that right now. Some of you have pretty short legs, too, and I don't want to look at anybody in particular. But some of you move really fast. You know, you're vertically challenged, and you still move. I mean, you are flying around there. It's amazing. So, but running, it's healthy, but it's reviled. Okay, let's face it, you know, especially in this kind of weather. I mean, you're not like, oh, goody, I'm going to sweat and, you know, burn in my lungs and heart and everything like that, but you do it. There's endorphins that are produced, and you start feeling good. Say, yeah, all right, great, excellent. That's about my running for the day right there. Sometimes we run because it's an emergency. Sure, absolutely. But running is kind of a metaphor that's used in the second section of this reading to remind us of what it is to endure, to remind us that it is a journey. I don't know that it would necessarily be the best metaphor to understand it as a race, although I am going to tell you a story involving a race at the very end here that talked about incredible endurance and perseverance in the Olympics. But I think it speaks more about the journey. You know, in this day and age, people walked everywhere, or people ran. And so it was understood that that idea of training, of keeping ourselves fit to be able to do the daily things that God calls us to do was very clear. The individuals that God was calling here were called to be physically ready. Now certainly, does that mean that just because you may have some physical limitations, God isn't going to call you? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. God calls, in fact, each and every one that is open. God calls each and every one, in fact, that isn't open. And in fact, God may be calling you, and you're thinking, Lord, I'm not here right now. Leave a message. But still, God continues to call. And you're going to be surprised, because you think, and I've heard this, and I've said this before, but I feel so strongly about it, I'm going to say it again. There are people that have told me, I don't think God can use me. And I just want to drop my dentures on that one. I really do, because it's just unbelievable. God wants to use, and God needs to be using every single person, because you never know how you are going to be a hero of faith to someone else in a very subtle way. You never know. So, getting ready for the journey, preparing ourselves, reading the Bible. If you don't have a Bible translation that you find readable, if you don't have one that's a good study Bible, please let me know, because I will make sure you get one, okay? No question about it. Worship, being in worship. I was kind of talking to the kids earlier, but I'm talking to the big kids right now. Worship, another place where we are encouraged, we're trained to be able to be thinking about God and putting God first. How many times it is so easy to be putting so many other things first, but in worship, it's all about God. And so we train ourselves to keep thinking that way, just like that race. Prayer, training ourselves to be putting God's agenda first. Thy will be done, not ours. Thy kingdom come, not my kingdom. Your kingdom is everlasting, God. My kingdom starts falling apart. Training that you're in the midst of, and maybe you weren't even realizing that. And that's okay, because you just do it. You start getting into those habits, into reading devotionals, into being together, into helping at the church. All of those things train us to be heroes of the faith and to endure whenever times are most difficult. That story that I was mentioning to you is the story of the marathon, the day of the marathon in Mexico City, the Mexico City Olympics in 1964. The gold and the silver and the bronze medalists had already been crowned. You know, they'd already been given their medals. So it was, there was some time had been passed. And in fact, in the middle of the infield, in the Olympics, whenever they finish up the marathon, they're running around the outside track. So in the middle of the infield, the other events are still going on. And this was happening here. So there's a lot of time that had elapsed. During one of those events that was in the infield, the reporters on duty noticed that the crowd slowly began to cheer. And they were wondering about that. They kind of heard this rumbling in the crowd. And they couldn't figure it out. Gradually, it grew louder and louder. They're watching and they're looking around to see what's going on. Finally, they noticed a lone marathon runner stumbling into the stadium. The last one. The runner was limping, actually. No longer running. Simply limping, kind of forcing his body forward by sheer will. And the crowd was cheering more powerfully for that individual, showing incredible endurance, more endurance than they'd maybe ever seen before in their life than they had for any of the gold medal winners. Just cheering, raucous crowd, just cheering, cheering on, trying to urge on this runner to finish the race. Finally, and it took such a long time because he's literally limping around the track, finally finished and he collapsed over the finish line. Now, the author of this story says what really struck him is whenever one of the reporters was interviewing the marathon runner, and they asked this question, why did you go through all the agony and pain to cross the finish line in a race that you had absolutely no chance to win? And the runner replied, my country did not send me all this thousands of miles to enter the race. They sent me to finish the race. How are we on the race of faith? How are we on that journey of faith? Are we building our endurance by being in the Word? By being in worship? By encouraging one another? By praying? Are we building our endurance? Are we training? Or we're simply setting all those things aside and hoping that somehow it happens despite ourselves. I would invite you, in this time of discipleship, to simply recommit yourself to being in God's Word, to being in prayer, to being in worship, to being His church, to being His child, to being a brother or sister in Christ, a man or woman of God. And simply asking that God would train you for the race of faith, that God would train you to be able to endure, knowing that you're going to be enduring anyways. As you hear the music play, just enter into that time. Simply say, Lord, simply seeking more of you and less of me. Lord, I'm seeking more of you, less of me. Lord, I'm seeking more of you and less of me.